Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. Let's start with an article from AARP, the magazine, and this is about real people. And the heading of this one is Get Me Rewrite. He's got the scoop. How former entrepreneur John Foley went from man of leisure to muckraking reporter. Uncovering small-town corruption was not in my retirement plan, but I'm finding that it suits me. I started out my working years in Minnesota and also lived in Massachusetts, New York City, and Carmel, California. Early on, I had been a writer and editor for publications about Broadway, about fashion models, about cars, lots of different things. Eventually, I turned to other lines of work, mainly owning restaurants and grocery stores. When it was time to sell our businesses and retire, my wife and I wanted a simpler life. Carmel's cove-like setting had been magical for us, but we had had plenty of Northern California's high prices and wildfires. We looked for another town like it. A quaint, seaside, historic town with diverse makeup and a strong sense of community. That's how we discovered Edenton, North Carolina. In 2021, we moved there. I had planned to remodel our new house, maybe write a book, but before long, I got restless. When I spotted the offices of the Chowan Herald, a weekly publication in downtown Edenton, I walked in and said to the only person there, I'm an old reporter. Are you looking for volunteers? She said, we don't take volunteers. But I left my number. A week later, I got a call to cover a local Cub Scout breakfast. They paid me $40. And then I covered two more. The newspaper chain that owns the Herald asked me to do other stories for the Bertie Ledger Advance. I wrote about Bertie County Department of Social Services being taken over by the state after the director resigned. She had been placing children in foster homes without a judge's consent. That paper hired me full-time and asked me to also write for the Enterprise in the neighboring county. For the Enterprise, I discovered that, without properly notifying the public, the county manager had given himself exorbitant raises. Those raises have been rescinded. The manager has resigned, and the state is investigating. At this point, I'm an Enterprise reporter. I cover whatever I want, writing 10 to 14 stories a week. I earn a little more than a Starbucks barista, but it's enough for me. I was apprehensive as a Californian moving to an unfamiliar town back east, but Southern hospitality is real. Everyone in town has been incredibly welcoming and encouraging about my reporting. I feel more sure of my skills than I ever did before. I really feel like I am making a contribution. Besides, I'm having a wonderful time. I wake up in the morning and I can't wait to go to work. Sometimes I even wake up in the middle of the night and go to work. And this article was as told to Andrea Atkins. Retired businessman John Foley, 72, reports on town and county boards for the Adams Publishing Group. He is working on a memoir. Now, also from the magazine, let's look at managing money when you're sick. Letting bills go unpaid during a medical crisis can create a financial crisis. Here's how to avoid that. Imagine a medical emergency knocks you out of commission for a few weeks or months. Paying your cable bill may not be high on your list of priorities, but the consequences of letting financial obligations fall by the wayside could make getting your life back to normal even harder. Missing a month or two of rent payments, credit card bills, and phone bills can expose you to penalty fees, unwanted interest payments, and worse. So, how can you avoid this? The right answer isn't obvious. You could simply give instructions and passwords to a friend or relative, but that carries risks. And what if you're not in any condition to explain how you manage your money? Consider these steps to prepare for a health care crisis with a minimum of hassle. 1. Create a list of chores. Start by writing down a comprehensive list of your regular bills, expected deposits, and any other information your helper would need to handle your day-to-day financial obligations for a period of up to 6 months. Which payments are on autopilot, and which do you write checks for? Where does the money to pay your bills come from? If your bills are on auto-pay, but your checking account isn't replenished, your payments will start bouncing. Next, assemble relevant account numbers, usernames, and passwords, and try to imagine any problems your helper might have accessing your accounts. Are they protected by two-factor authentication, meaning that logging in might require both a password and a one-time code texted to your phone? Clarity is important, says Stuart Springer, a senior health manager for City Personal Wealth Management based in Fresno, California. Especially when another person is probably upset and is dealing with a lot of other things. 2. Find the right person. Your next step, designate someone willing and able to handle the job. I've seen so many situations where people say, "I have to name my oldest child," said Stacy E. Singer, National Practice Leader for Trust and Wealth Advisory Services at Northern Trust Company in Chicago. Well, that's great, but make sure your oldest child is able to do it, has the time to do it, and is the kind of person who does those things well. If you don't have children you can ask, you might try another family member, a friend, or a professional, says Jay Zygmunt, founder of Child Free Wealth, a financial planning firm in Water Valley, Mississippi. For example, the American Association of Daily Money Managers, AADMM.com/find-a-DMM, lets you search for professionals who can handle your day-to-day finances on a short or long-term basis. Don't keep your choice a secret from others in your life. You don't want relatives panicking about your financials unnecessarily or arguing over who should manage your money. Also, be willing to revisit your decision. Someone perfectly positioned to help you now may not stay that way. Finally, let your designee know where to find financial information you prepared, say in an envelope in your desk drawer. Now, how about a look at Elizabeth Banks? Happy birthday, Big 5-0. Her birthday was February 10th. In addition to playing key roles in the Hunger Games and Pitch Perfect series, Banks works behind the camera, with directorial credits including the 2019 iteration of Charlie's Angels and the 2023 horror comedy Cocaine Bear. Sliding into acting. After suffering a broken leg playing softball, she found another activity, a school play. Life at home. Banks has two sons with writer Max Handelman. They work together too. The married team founded Brownstone Productions. Fun and games. Friend Jesse Taylor Ferguson says Banks loves to host game night parties. On TV, she hosts the ABC game show Press Your Luck. Words to live by. Lorne Michaels gave me advice. Don't do things unless you think they'll be part of the cultural conversation, Banks told the New York Times in 2022. I'm getting older and I want to stay relevant and be in the conversation. Now moving on to AARP The Bulletin, the cover story is an AARP Prevention Guide Fraud 2024. Seems like we have a lot of to talk about on fraud, but it is very important, especially for us more mature folks. It's never been more pervasive, what to know and how to fight back. Operating out of every corner of the globe, criminals are bombarding older Americans with emails, phone calls, texts, and letters, all trying to steal as much of our money as possible. Consider that 2.6 million Americans, roughly equal to the population of Chicago, reported losing roughly $10 billion to fraud last year. And that's merely the reported cases. We would argue that given its pervasiveness and cost, consumer fraud represents the largest crime spree in the history of our country. For several years now, we've turned over the April edition of the AARP Bulletin to fraud coverage, as there's always so much new information to report. But our message remains hopeful. Law enforcement and private businesses have never been more engaged in the fight against fraud than they are now. The real secret weapon against fraud, though, is you. Being aware of what is happening and knowing the red flags of scams when dubious offers come your way are the very best ways to put a successful end to this crime spree. Here's fresh ammunition to help you and all older Americans defeat these foes. Their strategies. 6 fast-growing scams coming your way. Criminals are using the latest technology and a whole lot of creativity to come up with fresh ways to steal from you. These newly minted frauds are on the rise right now. This article by Patrick Kiger. Check cooking. In recent years, check washing, in which thieves steal paper checks from mailboxes, wash the ink off with chemicals, leaving the signature, then fill in a new amount and payee, was the big concern. Now it's check cooking, in which thieves take a digital picture of a stolen check, then use commercially available software to alter it. It looks very real, even with the watermarks and all, explains Michael Broomer, Vice President of Data Breach Resolution and Customer Protection at Experian. Criminals can then print a new phony check or deposit the altered image using a bank's mobile app. Stay safe. Learn how to pay bills and send money to loved or trusted ones with electronic transfers from your bank. If you truly prefer to mail paper checks, drop them off directly at the nearest post office rather than using a neighborhood mailbox, and continually monitor your checking account for suspicious transactions. Then there's voice printing. Through technological advances, thieves can capture a recording of your voice and then use a software program to generate an imitation deep fake version that lets them impersonate you. That voice print can be used to access your insurance or financial institution, Broomer says. In particular, crooks have been using deep fake voice copies to call banks and request that funds be transferred to an account they control. Stay safe. Accept the days of phone conversations with anyone other than family or close friends are coming to an end. If someone outside your circle needs to get a hold of you, they can text you, Broomer says. He warns that even calls that appear to be from known numbers could be coming from a phone that's been stolen or had its SIM card cloned. Then there's celebrity impersonation. During the pandemic, fans became accustomed to a constant social media presence from celebrities. Scammers have tapped into that. If you're on Instagram or Facebook and someone pretending to be Celine Dion or her manager reaches out for you, explains Amy Knopfinger, director of victim support for AARP's Fraud Watch Network, the fake manager might say, "Celine loves your comments. She would love to talk to you. Here's her private account." After you connect, the talk gradually turns into how the celebrity's fortune is tied up in a lawsuit and she could use a loan. Stay safe. If you get a direct message from someone claiming to be a performer or superstar athlete or their agent, be extremely skeptical. It's almost certain to be a scam. Multi-stage grandparent scams. This is a new version of the classic grandparent scam, in which an imposter pretends to be a grandchild in trouble who needs instant money for bail, a car repair, or something else. In this more organized approach, criminal staff call centers with young people who are paid a few bucks for every older person they can deceive. Part of the gimmick is for the imposter grandchild to provide a case number. When grandpa calls the supposed authority, they say, "Oh, do you have the case number?" explains Aaron Foss, former chief executive and founder of No More Robo. It's a subtle psychological trick to make the fraud seem more credible. Some scammers have a co-conspirator pose as a courier and go to a grandparent's home to pick up the money in person, according to Steve Baker, a former Federal Trade Commission official who publishes the Baker Fraud Reporter newsletter. Stay safe. If someone calls you from an unfamiliar number claiming to be a family member in trouble, the Federal Communications Commission recommends that you hang up, then call or text the family member's number to see if the person is actually in trouble. If they don't answer and you're concerned that the emergency could be real, contact other family members or friends. Next, delayed action sweepstakes. Those con artists who call or write to say that you've won a fabulous fortune have come up with a new variation. Instead of trying to get you to pay taxes or other fees in advance to collect the non-existent prize, the scammers will ask for personal information so they can validate you and set up the payout. Then, instead of quickly looting your bank account, the crooks may write small checks on your account to see whether you notice the fraudulent activity. If you don't, they'll continue to use the account to obtain credit cards and lines of credit in your name that they can siphon off, giving them a potentially bigger payday down the road. Stay safe. There are extremely few legitimate sweepstakes with large cash prizes. If you get a call claiming that you've won one, the safest bet is to just hang up and never, ever provide any personal information. Next, we have the Paris Olympics scams. With the Paris Games coming up this summer, experts predict a revival of the fake emergency scam, which works like this. A scammer hacks someone's email account, and shortly after, all of that person's contacts will receive the same message, something to the effect of, "Hey guys, I'm over in Paris and my wallet got stolen. Can anyone please help me out by sending gift cards or a Venmo deposit?" It's a potentially convincing ruse. Stay safe. Resist the urge to act immediately if you hear from a friend in Paris or anywhere needing instant cash. Instead, try other ways to contact the person who supposedly is in need, such as calling them on the phone. Deceived by scammers posing as federal agents who convinced her that her bank account had been compromised, Elena Weissman fed more than $11,000 in $100 bills into a cryptocurrency ATM inside a cannabis dispensary last October in Santa Fe, New Mexico. "I remember the sound of the machine sucking up my money. Whoosh, ping," says Weissman, 77, an actor and writer. Dispensary staffers gave her a chair so she could sit down for the long transaction. "I was so upset I forgot about my sick dog in the car," she says. The criminals said the money would help the government protect her bank accounts. Before she fed in the cash, the ATM flashed warnings about scams. "But I was instructed to lie," said Weissman, who had scanned a QR code provided by the scammers into the ATM. That code sent her money directly to their cryptocurrency wallet. It was the nightmare start of a series of schemes pulled off by the same criminals that ultimately cost Weissman $159,000. For years, gift cards, bank transfers, and payment apps were the preferred way for scammers to get victims' money, as each has been widely accessible and the transactions almost untraceable. But consumers, law enforcement, and the businesses behind those services have caught on to this, and protections are growing. The scammer's solution? Increasingly directing their victims to pay up the way Weissman did, at a crypto ATM. These often colored kiosks are popping up in supermarkets, convenience stores, gas stations, restaurants, liquor stores, and even laundromats across the U.S. There are more than 49,000 crypto ATMs in the United States, up from only about 1,200 at the end of 2017. Although they are a legitimate way to convert real dollars into crypto dollars, itself a risky move given crypto's fast-changing value, crypto ATMs are used in government imposter scams, romance scams, grandparent scams, fraudulent online sales, employment scams, lottery scams, and other schemes, law enforcement officials say. Criminals enticed people to feed $22 million into the machines for government imposter scams alone in 2021, according to the Federal Trade Commission. And they were used in at least $35 million in fraudulent transactions in 2022, the Federal Reserve reports. Scammers love them for many reasons. For one, the kiosks quickly move victims' cash into tough-to-trace cryptocurrency accounts owned by criminals. Scammers take advantage of crypto because of the anonymity, says Special Agent Trenton Akana of the U.S. Secret Service Criminal Investigation Division. Once the money's on the blockchain or public ledger, they can transfer and launder it in many ways. The company that owned the machine Weissman used told her the money was untraceable, she said. Crypto kiosks look like traditional bank ATMs, a familiarity scammers exploit. Scammers often just tell the victims, go to the ATM at the convenience store. The victim doesn't even realize it's a crypto machine, says Amy Nofzinger, Director of Fraud Victim Support for the AARP Fraud Watch Network. Most crypto ATMs are licensed and used for their intended and legal purposes. And some, but not all, warn users about scammers, says Xavier Diaz, public safety intelligence analyst with the Ohio Narcotics Intelligence Center. Scammers use this variability to their advantage, sending their marks to unlicensed kiosks that don't meet federal registration requirements, says Clark Flint Barr, AARP Government Affairs Director for Financial Security. Scam victims typically deposit cash in amounts ranging up to tens of thousands of dollars, according to law enforcement and AARP Fraud Watch Network reports. A woman told me it took her 2 hours to deposit $80,000 in cash into a crypto ATM, Nofzinger says. Several states have passed laws that would tighten regulation of crypto ATMs to protect consumers. In the meantime, protect yourself by remembering that a request to pay via a crypto ATM is a red flag that you may have stumbled into a scam, says Sergeant Jacob Pierce, a spokesperson for the Fairfax County Police Department in Virginia. Last December, the department warned residents of a wave of scams targeting older adults that involved crypto ATM payments and had cost victims up to $25,000. Legitimate businesses and government agencies don't take payment through crypto ATMs, Pierce said. And this piece was by Sari Harar, who's a contributing editor for AARP the magazine and frequently writes on health and fraud for the Bulletin, including recent cover stories on heart disease and Alzheimer's disease. Now, these are things to do for your defense. Do these things today and be safer tomorrow. An updated to-do list to make it much harder for scammers to reach you. Open your iPhone's contact list and add your family, friends, doctors, and other important numbers. Then go into your phone settings and turn on the setting for Silence Unknown Callers. This will send any caller who isn't in your contact list directly to voicemail. Every few months, revise the passwords on your financial accounts. Your best bet is to use a passphrase. I love my 17 dogs! It's much stronger than Scruffy 23. Keep track of passwords in a highly secure password manager or by writing them down and storing them safely. Make sure you are signed out of any financial apps on your phone, credit cards, financial institutions, and peer-to-peer apps such as Venmo, Cash App, or Zelle. Also, make sure your account settings require security measures such as a PIN, fingerprint, or facial recognition. This ensures that if your phone is stolen, the thief will not have access to your money. Be skeptical. Many criminals use friendliness, compassion, and kindness as their persuasion method rather than fear and intimidation, Likewise, scammers create a sense of urgency to get you to act out of emotion rather than logic. If you feel pressured or manipulated, walk away. Audit your wallet or purse. That means remove cards and information you don't need to carry, such as your Social Security or Medicare card, and make copies of anything you do need to carry, front and back, and store in a safe place at home. Add the AARP Fraud Watch Network helpline phone number into your phone right now, so you'll have it if you need to call us to report a scam attempt or to get more advice on how to stay safer from the people out there trying to steal your money and identity. And that number is 877-908-3360. Again, 877-908-3360. Routinely monitor your credit report. Some banks or credit cards offer this as a free service. You can also go to annualcreditreport.com or call 877-322-8228 to get free reports from the big three credit bureaus. Watch for unusual activity. If you see any, report it immediately to all three bureaus and appropriate financial institutions. And finally, check your social media settings to make sure you have your account set to private. This allows only people you choose to trust to view your pages and contact you. The authors of this piece, Amy Nofsinger, is the director of AARP's Fraud Victim Support, and Mark Federhoff is a senior advisor on the victim support team. Now let's look at a few of our favorite people that are getting older. Rob Lowe, March 17th, the 911 Lone Star actor, has worked with son John Owen Lowe on several projects. And let's see, he's 60, turned 60. John Travolta, February 18th, an aviation enthusiast, the actor became licensed to pilot a 737 in 2022. He turned 70. Ron Howard, March 1st, Cocoon filmmaker, has directed his first animated feature planned for Netflix, and he turned 70. Diana Ross, March 26th, in 2023, became the first woman to win the Grammy's Lifetime Achievement Award twice. She turned 80. And Gloria Steinem, birthday March 25th, the feminist icon, made an appearance on Max series And Just Like That last year, and she is 90. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.